We'll bear that in mind. Now, a one-off of Dead Ringers.
You join us here for the very sombre scene outside Downing Street as the gun carriage slowly pulls away from number 10. Nailed inside the coffin is the body of Tony Blair. I can hear him knocking as he begs to be let out. And as it trundles off to its final destination point, from where he'll be weighed down and thrown into the Thames, it's at a moment like this you realise that Blair truly was the people's Prime Minister.
Dead Ringers, Anthony Charles Linton Blair Special.
And we start this retrospective at the beginning, as on the morning of May the 2nd, 1997. Tony Blair heads to Buckingham Palace to meet with the head of state, nick the teaspoons, and gain royal assent to form a government.
Hi. Yeah, well, it's lovely to finally meet you, Your Majesty. It's funny, really. I always assumed it was the Queen who gave consent.
No, you have to get permission from me, Brian Perkins. I'm the one in charge. Even Liz has to answer to King Perkins the First. Defender of the faith, monarch of the Glen, and crusher of the Nadgers of anyone who's got a problem with it. Oh, yes, Phil the Greek might be the one who kills pandas. But I call the shots. And if I don't like you, you get an OBE. The Order of Brian's Elbow in the face. Now, what was it you wanted?
Actually, you know, I think I might have changed my mind.
Too late. Now get down, Tony Blair, and give me government.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. I'm once, twice, three times a continuity announcer. Coming up later today, we've Radio 4's afternoon play, which today is hopscotch, which is followed by the Radio 4 afternoon nap. No Radio 4 programme prides itself more on its topicality than the Archive Hour, or failing that, the Archers, as these special general election editions of the show demonstrate.
Hello, Clary. Hello, Joe. Fancy bumping into you here in Ambridge, where we live. The morning after the
1997
general election.
I don't care about them politicians. All I know is that
mad cow disease
is going to be the death of us.
So how are things with you, Brian?
Oh, fine, Clary. No doubt you've heard that I'm having an affair with
Patricia.
No, I hadn't.
Me neither. But then I've been far too busy
feeding
my ferrets.
Yes. What an amazing election victory it was for
Tony Blair and New Labour.
He strikes me as the sort of Prime Minister who would
always put the countryside first.
Sentiments we can all agree with, that's for sure.
You're watching Channel 4, so there. Now you know what a copy of Nuts magazine would look like in 3D. Oh dear, we've gone almost 20 whole minutes without some mind-numbing tosh from Justin Lee Collins. Time to rectify that. It's I Remember Tony Blair.
And roll, Tony Blair, what was that all about? Do you remember the way Tony Blair used to fizz up when you put him in your mouth and your tongue would be numb for hours afterwards? Yeah, Blair was ace. Just ask Alan Carr if you don't believe me.
Oh, was Blair the bright yellow thingy that he used to bounce up and down on?
No, you're thinking of Peter Mandelson. Quick, let's get the next talking head on.
Ah, yes, poor Mr. Blair. He was simply unlucky to follow a premiership as dazzling, exciting, and as historic as my own. He'll just be remembered as that smiley man who followed John Major. Yes, Major. John Major. John with an H. Look, I'll write it down for you.
Tony Blair will be remembered as the Prime Minister who finally got me and Jerry Adams to sit down together in one room and make us realise that we must set aside the religious hatred we have for each other and start hating other religions instead. Jerry and I never realised how much we both hate the Buddhists.
My God, Jimmy Crank, he's really let himself go, hasn't he? Who's next?
Oh, some bitter old twisted queen, I bet.
Oh, I see. Suddenly you want one's opinion, do you? Why don't you just go and ask Helen Bloody Mirren?
Bye, 3 weeks out. Services, Chris speaking, how can I help?
Oh, hello, is that Marks and Spencer's?
Yes.
Oh, good, 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 thank you. Hello, it's Mr. Blair here. formal, I know. Tony's the name. I just really wanted to call, really, inevitably, with the free time that I'm going to be having a little more of. I wondered if it may be right to put myself forward as one of your nice catalogue models. Yeah. I just think.
I mean, if you, I can give you the names of the model agencies if you'd like.
Well, I thought, you know, rather than go to them, because they're probably going to be a bit weird or on something, I could go directly to you, and then you can tell the model agencies that I'm doing it.
No, it's just not the way we operate. We've got lots of people wanting to be models, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I know, but I'm, well, the respect, not lots of people. You know, you're getting me here. You're getting a commodity. You know, and I think that if I was standing there with, you know, some of your nice blouses on, perhaps a pullover, maybe action slacks, with the sun.
I'll get you the names of the agencies. Just bear with me a second.
Do they sort of airbrush the images?
I've no idea. Just bear with me a second.
Could I bring in my own hair colour?
I mean, if you were selected, I suppose it'd be down to whoever was doing the shoot.
Yeah.
Just bear with me a second.
Well, it'd be down to me, because, you know, what I says goes and that.
Right, okay. Get the name of the men's model agencies for you. Just bear with me a second.
I wouldn't want to wear any red blouses or red jumpers. I think I've done quite a lot of that in the job. Red ties I often had to wear and things like that. I think I need more pastel shades, barley white, primrose white, maybe a sort of pale pink or a sort of yellow. Something optimistic, something looking to the future.
I'm not on radio or anything, am I?
No. I think you're super.
Sorry?
I think you're super. I don't think you're the wrong person at all. Thank you for your help in this matter. And, you know, the only other thing I'd like to say is those nice little breaded goujons are very nice. They're like chips, but they are fish.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye. God bless. Hello.
And now, Peter Mandelson and his mysterious fish.
This week, my mysterious face is shaped like a chocolate eclair that's been sat on. And it's probing into a mystery so perplexing that it can only be described as a perplexing mystery. One June morning, late in 1999, a Londoner, Jerry Jackson, was out walking his dog when he inadvertently stumbled across a sight which would make his blood run cold. It was a thing called the Millennium Dome. Was it built to be the site of sickening ritual blood sacrifices to pagan gods? Was it used by the Nazis to store priceless works of stolen art? Or was it simply a piss-poor day out for confused tourists who thought they'd bought tickets to Madame Tussauds? These are questions we may never know the answer to, for just as quickly as the dome mysteriously appeared by the Thames, it just as mysteriously vanished. What? Well, it's still there. Are you sure? Blast! Oh, you can't rely on Al-Qaeda for anything these days, can you? No.
You're listening to Front Row. I'm Mark Lawson, the only arts presenter to come with his own puncture repair kit. During his decade in office, Tony Blair has been portrayed numerous times on screen, whilst in sharp contrast, his deputy, John Prescott, has only been portrayed once. But by goodness, didn't Borat do well? Here's Michael Sheen, as usual, as Blair, alongside Helen Mirren, in an outtake from the Oscar-winning film The Queen.
Prime Minister, while one respects your counsel, one is this country's monarch. One has a duty in times of tragedy to lead with restraint and dignity, Mr. Blair. Otherwise, in 10 years' time, I'll be played by Pam St. Clement, not Helen Mirren.
One appreciates that, Your Majesty, but surely Diana's death and subsequent national outpouring of grief suggest that a really good bone, a bit of blubbing, will do the nation a powerful.
Cut, Michael.
Yes, sorry, is there a problem?
Yes, you seem to be doing Kenneth Williams.
So?
It's a Wednesday, remember?
Yes, you only do Kenneth Williams on Mondays and Fridays. You do Blair the rest of the week.
Oh, sorry.
OK, start again. And action!
Prime Minister, one considers the matter closed.
Oh, get her! Who's butted your crumpets this morning?
You're doing it again! Look, your Kenneth Williams voice is totally unsuitable.
Why? It totally captures the mood of the nation in the week of Diana's death. I think Blair should stand there before the massed ranks of old Labour and cry, infamy, infamy, they've all got an infamy.
You know full well why not.
Why not, pray?
Because it's not nearly camp enough!
Point taken, Blair it is.
Hello, loves. It's me, Thora. Up in heaven. And can I just say, it's smashing to be back again on the radio. Now, sadly, as you know, I can't be with you on this special occasion. I would have come back down in person, but the tax on my 4x4 macaroon-guzzling stairlift is way too high these days. And on my pension, I just can't afford it. But I did want to wish that nice Mr. Blair all the best. Now, Tony, love, you've had your critics. People don't like you. You really are very, very deeply unpopular. But despite that, you were one of this nation's longest-serving institutions, always with us, your tenure stretching on and on into a seemingly endless, immeasurable infinity. You're like Last of the Summer Wine, but with bigger ears. Still, good luck, Tony, love. And by the way, while I'm here, I've got a message from God for somebody called Richard Dawkins. He says, bugger off, git face, just wait till you get up here. God bless, loves. Goodbye.
Hello?
Hello, is that Virgin Records?
Who do you want to speak to?
Hello, it's Mr. Blair here. Good day. Tony, I was talking to Simon Cowell and Richard not so long ago at a knitwear exhibition, and they recommended I call. It was just really about getting the career, or my career, as a recording artist started. I think the time's come, really.
Well, you just need to send a demo in, then.
Yeah, what sort of material is favoured at this time?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't really know. I'm just in the switch room, so I don't know what the A&R guys are looking for. It could be anything.
Have you just woken up? Rock and roll. Love it. Is there a sort of legal limit on the number of members of a band you can have?
No.
Oh, that's good. That's good, because I've got a few contacts. Let me see. I think Noel Gallagher, he can do some guitars and stuff.
Sorry?
I mean, I could speak to Bill Clinton, as a matter
Who?
Of fact. Bill Clinton.
You could speak to Bill Clinton?
Yeah, I speak to him every week, you know.
You speak to Bill Clinton every week?
Yeah, we were political colleagues for...
Speak to Bill Clinton every week and you can get Noel Gallagher in your band.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Noel's been round, so,
Noel's
you know...
Noel's been round, is he?
He's cool, I can talk to him. Clinton plays the saxophone.
Bill Clinton plays the saxophone.
This is what I mean, the time is right and the conditions are right for me to launch my career as a recording artist.
Well, you go for it. If you got Bill Clinton, you got Noel Gallagher in the band, then I'm pretty sure you'll get signed.
Yeah, let's do it, you know, rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. I can perhaps get Geldof on singing and... Let's get Geldof on singing and then
let's do it.
Let's get
Bono. Why don't you get Bono along too?
Bono, yeah, he can be there to be the over-righteous, irritating, big glasses wearing bollocks.
Or he could raise a lot of money for poverty and play the tambourine.
That's him. I mean, that's all he's ever done, really, which is good. You know, I'm not mocking it terribly
What's
often.
What's your band called?
Legislation, I think, is quite...
One hell of a ring to it.
Well, I'll get some material in to you, you know, sort of young baby mothers, yeah, I've got your back as well. Young baby fathers, hold it down for your girl. Something of a Dizzy Rascal, maybe.
Right.
To be radical and...
be a bit rad. Okay, cool.
I tell you what, babe, that was legislation.
So, good luck with
All right.
your band. Lovely speaking to you.
It was quite nice speaking to you as well, thank you. Love you.
Brian?
Hello, Clary. Hello, Joe. I fancy bumping into you here in Ambridge, where we live. The morning after the...
2001.
...general election.
I don't care about them politicians. All I know is that...
foot and mouth disease.
It's going to be the death of us.
So how are things with you, Brian?
Oh, fine, Clary. No doubt you've heard I'm having an affair with...
the St. Winifred's Girls' School Choir.
No, I hadn't.
Me neither, but I've been far too busy...
slaughtering...
my ferrets.
Yes, what an amazing election victory it was for...
Tony Blair and New Labour.
He strikes me as the sort of Prime Minister who would...
destroy everything that makes our countryside great.
Sentiments we can all agree with, that's for sure.
And now we recall the historic moment in March 2003 when Robin Cook delivered a devastating ultimatum to the Prime Minister, a last-ditch attempt to warn Blair about the consequences of the Iraq War.
Yeah, hi, Robin. You asked to see me urgently? I'm sorry, I didn't quite get all of that. You want to tell me about the, film you saw last night?
I'm trying to warn you about the consequences of being in Iraq and punching the country in a bit of civil war. Then comes the White House, in legacy will want bloodshed and misery.
Really? Julia Roberts was in it? Yeah, she's good, isn't she? Yeah.
Just listen to what I'm trying to say about Iraq.
Yes, I prefer her to Meg Ryan too.
I'm trying to warn you, and I will say that in the front of the... oh, forget it, I quit.
Really? I prefer her in Sleepless in Seattle.
And now, episode 3 of our afternoon play, the number one ladies detective agency. Mara Motsway has had a cup of Bush tea and might drink another one, as it is very hot.
Mara Motsway, you are here in your office. That is good you are here in your office, that you are inside of.
You are right, Mr. Mbuto. It is good that I am in my office. If I was somewhere else, like in the belly of a crocodile or washed into the sea, that would be bad. So I am glad I am in my office and not in those places.
That is very true. You are very wise, Ma Remotswe. I always say you will have to get early out of bed to get out of bed earlier than Ma Remotswe, because she will get out of bed earlier than you if you do not get out of bed early enough.
That is a good saying, Mr. Mbuto. Very pithy.
I came to see you in your office on another day, and you were not in your office on that day. It was most perplexing.
That is so, Mr. Mbuto. I was not in the office that day. That is because I went to Great Britain, far away across the sea. The Prime Minister called me to do a very important job for him. He heard me on Radio 4 and told me that I am just a detective to investigate the thing they call the Cash for Honours scandal. He said my speedy investigative urgency and lightning detective skills are just what he needs to find the culprits.
So what did you discover when you went to Great Britain?
Oh, I discovered many things, Ra. I discovered that the skinny lattes in Starbucks are a great rip-off.
And what did you discover about the cash for honors investigation?
Oh, that was a most perplexing investigation, Ra. One involving corruption amongst the most elite members of society, men and women at heart of the British government. Such a case here in Botswana would be easy for me to solve. I would just say it was all the fault of a big lion. But Britain is not Botswana.
It's not?
No. Nora, it most definitely is not. So instead, I delivered to Mr. Blair a 300-page dossier revealing a complex web of deceit, a dossier which directly implicated Jonathan Powell, Lord Levy, and Ruth Turner in a calculated attempt to escape detection by perverting the cause of justice.
And what did Mr. Blair say?
He said that he agreed with me and that it was probably all the fault of a big lion. That was episode 3 of the number 1 Ladies Detective Agency. Join us tomorrow when Mara Motsue looks into the sexed up MI5 reports on weapons of mass destruction and blames it on wildebeests. And now, our new book at bedtime. Martin Jarvis reads the most eagerly anticipated political memoirs of the Blair era.
When I first met John Smith, it was clear we shared a common passion. A passion for reform, for change. He was witty, erudite, and passionately committed to Labour. We stayed up talking long into the night, and then I gutted him with my fish knife.
Martin Jarvis reads Alistair Campbell's diaries of Downing Street life, and then I gutted him with my fish knife.
My name is Greg Dyke, and I used to be Director General of the BBC. Now, many of you may think that I'd be annoyed that Blair done me over right and proper with the Hutton report. And those people would, of course, be wrong. Yes, it was all a diversion. You see, while the government was getting in a right old 2 and 8 about Humphreys and his firm, what they didn't notice was all the millions of pounds I was raking in day after day from the rigged premium rate phone lines on you and yours. Every time some old Mary would phone up about flammable oven gloves, it would cost her 30 quid. Which went straight into Dyke Enterprises, which is an offshore account secreted 30 miles from the nearest landmass, Eamon Holmes. So go and swivel on that, Lord Hutton. Oi, Yentob, how many times have I told you no hula dancing with Moira Stewart until I get my strawberry daiquiri?
Hello, Sedgefield Borough.
Hello, Sedgefield Borough Council.
Yes.
Hi, it's me.
Hi.
I was just telephoning, really, about the job. Here it is. The part-time local land and property gazetteer assistant.
All right, would you like an application form sending out?
I was hoping just to do it, really, without all of that bureaucracy.
No, I'm afraid you have to apply, just like everybody else.
Good. Well, you know, that's the kind of Britain I've always advocated. Yeah, bring it on. Bothered. What exactly is a part-time local land property gazetteer assistant?
I actually have no idea. You'd have to speak to the department. I mean, I can put you down to Lindsay, who'd be able to explain a bit more about the job.
Is she there?
Yeah, if you hold on a second, I'll
Let's have a word
there.
With her.
Unfortunately, she's actually on a dinner at the minute. Would you like to call back in half an hour, or you can go on our website?
Lynn's on her dinner?
Yeah.
Well, I think no-one's entitled to it more. I hope she has a very positive and healthy dinner that she will look back on and reflect and say, that was nice. What's the money for the job? Do you know what that is?
It's a scale 4 job, which is 16,137.
Per hour? That's pretty good, actually. That's a pretty good international rate. I'd probably take that on. Yeah, put me down for that one.
Right, can I just take your name and address then, please?
It's Mr. T. Blair.
Yep.
Downing Street.
Sorry, can you say that again, please?
Yep, it's Mr. T. Blair. The address is Downing Street. And the telephone number, 02071.
Right.
And that's it, because we're in the middle.
Okay.
Super. Thank you for your help. I just wanted to really do what, I think in a sense, Noel Edmonds did on Deal or No Deal, and that's just get a job where you're back with real people doing real, tangible, proper things. And none of this international statesman gubbins.
Right.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. Hello, hello.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Clary. Hello, Joe. Fancy bumping into you here in Ambridge, where we live. The morning after the
2005
general election.
I don't care about them politicians. All I know is that
turkey flu.
It's going to be the death of us.
So how are things with you?
Oh, fine, Clary. No doubt you've heard I'm having an affair with...
you.
Oh, no, I hadn't.
Me neither. But then I've been far too busy...
dating...
my ferrets.
What an amazing election victory it was for...
him again. Bloody Blair.
He strikes me as the sort of Prime Minister who would...
deserve a slow, lingering death. Being ripped to pieces by rabid turkeys.
Sentiments we can all agree with, that's for sure.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. Harder than a fiendish Sudoku that's taken Viagra. Tony Blair might be leaving, but I can tell you he isn't going to get any further than the end of Downing Street. Oh, no. Nobody reneges on an agreement with Brian Perkins. 10 years ago, we sat in a restaurant, Nando's Chicken in Putney, and we made a deal. He'd have the 5 spicy wings and I'd have the peri-peri platter. And we'd share a coleslaw. But he went back on our arrangement, and while I was in the toilet, he ordered a garlic bread and became Prime Minister. He'd crossed the line. I bent him over, pushed a hot buttered corn on the cob up his spicy pitter pocket, and we haven't spoken since. He became the country's premier, and I became a continuity announcer slash assassin for Radio 4. But now it's payback time. 16 years ago, Boris Yeltsin went back on a deal to make me Tsar Perkins, and look what happened to him. You can run, Blair, but you can't hide. I'm taking you down like a grinning dog. And now the archers. You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Colshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly and Phil Cornwell. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain, John Holmes, John Finnemore, John Colshaw and Johnny Morris. It was devised by Bill Dare.
The producer was Katie Tyrrell.
And a note from Brian Perkins, who organises everything around here, would suggest that the addition of another case of Milton Jones you missed this evening, because of the Dead Ringers special, will be at 6:30 next Tuesday. Unless, of course, Brian changes his mind.